This is the Dive Into Malaysia Travel Podcast, episode 16, with Dive Into Malaysia founder, Sharon Goulet. In today's episode, I'm discussing everything about traveling in Malaysia with kids. Now, I've traveled to Malaysia many times with kids. The first time I traveled here with kids, my daughter was one and I was 20 weeks pregnant with my second child. Since then, I've traveled here with my kids from 9 months old to nearly 13. I spent a big chunk of the first half of my last pregnancy in Malaysia, and we lived here when our first two kids were aged from 2 years old to 5 years old. So I feel I know a lot about traveling with kids in Malaysia, and it's all been very positive. From the fact that Malaysians generally love children and will make you feel especially welcome when you walk in with young kids, to the love the kids have been shown by total strangers, it's been the easiest place in the world that we've traveled with kids. And we've traveled to over 60 countries with children, so we have some idea. But of course, traveling here as a parent is just one element of exploring Malaysia with kids. What's a kid think of it? What do they love? What is more challenging? What would they recommend to other kids? In this special episode, I'm not just discussing traveling in Malaysia from a parent's perspective, but I also have some special guests, my kids. So listen to this with your own kids and let's all talk about traveling in Malaysia.
Welcome to the Dive Into Malaysia Travel Podcast, the place to be when you're dreaming and planning all the awesome adventures you could have in Malaysia. Each week on the show, your host Sharon will take you from underwater adventures in one of Malaysia's marine parks to standing on top of the world in Merdeka 118 in KL to eating the best food you'll experience in your life at a hawker centre to planning how to get from A to B and where to stay. It's all here.
So today we are talking about family travel in Malaysia. Before we dive into everything on this topic, remember you can find today's show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode16. This has links to everything I talk about and further information to help you plan your trip. If you have any questions or want to learn more about traveling in Malaysia, make sure you also join us in the Malaysia Travel Planning Group in Facebook. You can find this simply by typing malaysiaplanning.com into a browser. It'll take you to the Facebook group. In the first half of this episode, I'm going to discuss the nuts and bolts of traveling with kids, from baby supplies to my tips for traveling with kids and how to get them to stop complaining. In the second half of this episode, I'll be joined by my kids and we'll talk about their favorite experiences in Malaysia, what they recommend to other kids, what they didn't enjoy or found challenging, and more. We have found Malaysia very easy to travel with kids, especially when they were little. Traveling around Malaysia was made so easy by the love that we were shown by strangers. It wasn't like in Australia where people can give you dirty looks for daring to go into a restaurant with kids or people look away when you hop on public transport carrying a baby. Here they are embraced and even old people will stand up to give you a seat on public transport, although that would always make me feel bad. It helps that a lot of attractions are outdoors and so are restaurants. A complaining baby is barely heard in an outdoor hawker centre, which can help you feel more relaxed when it's yours. Things like beaches, jungle, hiking, exploring tea plantations, picking strawberries, wandering around trying to find street art and visiting orangutans can work very well for families. It is quite easy. There are also some great theme parks. My boy's favourite place in the world is Legoland Malaysia. And other kid-focused attractions like the amazing Kidzania in KL, Aquaria KL, the aquarium there, or the Petrosyan Sion Museum. There's also amazing animal attractions too, like the bird park in KL or the fabulous Intopio Butterfly Farm in Penang. But they can also enjoy other attractions too. It's fun to go up the iconic Petronas Towers or walk the markets in Chinatown in KL. Museums can be a bit trickier and we tend to sandwich those among other attractions. Food may be something that you're worried about, but it's usually not hard to find a child-friendly option. Many things are not spicy and you can often find cut-up fruit or fresh juice as well. A not spicy fried rice like nasi goreng or chicken satay sticks are our go-to with our fussy middle child. Roti or naan can also work well with dishes like roti canai, and they can dip the roti in themselves so if they don't like it or it's a bit too spicy, they can just not eat that part. You can also get mild Indian curry, so that may work if your kids are even just a little adventurous. Of course, you can find Western options too. All my kids absolutely love Sushi King, a chain of sushi restaurants with a sushi train that is definitely their reward when they've been really awesome on the trip. We also found doing a street food tour with Simply Anak was simply awesome. You get to try lots of things and they can cater to fussier eaters. There are lots of things to try, so it doesn't matter too much on a tour like that if they won't eat them all. They'll find plenty that they will eat. Make sure you check out the link to this tour in the show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode16, as it has a discount code you can use if you choose to do one. It's usually easy to find laundries where you can wash and dry your clothes, or someone can do it for you for a great price. We just use Google Maps to find them close to where we are staying. An upside to the hot weather is that it's going to be hot and you don't need to take nearly as many clothes as a cooler place. We usually only take one warmer outfit, which we wear on the plane, and this helps a lot with luggage space and how much we have to cart around, because I'm sure if some of you have traveled, especially like us with a family of five, taking how much luggage we have to take when we go somewhere cooler, it can get out of control. In a warmer place, it is quite straightforward. We've actually traveled many times to Malaysia carry-on only. Good walking shoes are a good idea though, as it can rain any time and the ground can be slippery, so definitely something with some good grip. We've found it easy to access medical services when necessary, and this is very affordable as well. Even though we always travel with travel insurance, we just haven't even bothered using it because it's just so cheap. We've gone to GPs in a few different places in Malaysia. Usually go in, they see you, you come out, they actually give you all the medication in there as well, and it's still like $30. I also saw an obstetrician for a while in Penang when I was pregnant, and it was just so much cheaper than home, even with a supposedly free public health system. Affordability is also a reason why Malaysia is great with kids. A family trip can add up fast, and while our last trip was just nowhere near as cheap as it was pre-pandemic, it's still very affordable in Malaysia compared to most places. Everything is such great value too, not just cheap, so you can find that you can have a quality family vacation for less. Many hotels have family room options. It definitely does get trickier once you hit five people like us. But you can sometimes have an extra bed in a quad room, or you can obviously book two rooms. Some hotels have some great family rooms, especially in the main tourist places like Kuala Lumpur and Penang. Or the Legoland Hotel in JB is definitely one of my favourite hotels in the world. Now, booking ahead is the best way to get the best prices, ideally at least 6 months ahead. Especially if you're like us and you need somewhere you can stay with five people, it does rule out a lot of options. So you want to book as early as you can to get the best options that you can. Now, generally, kids are free in the room if they don't need extra bedding. If you have a baby, cots are often available, but check beforehand. Something we have found a little challenging on that front is sometimes the cots can be quite small. Now, all of my kids have been huge baby and toddlers. A lot of them have been off the charts size-wise here in Australia. So in Malaysia, they're not Malaysian size at all. And baby furniture can be not that great for us. So while you can get a cot, I prefer personally to travel with my own when my kids were little. So what are some more things to consider when traveling with babies and toddlers? Now, baby items are easy to find. Kuala Lumpur and Penang had plenty of nappies, baby food, formula, etc. We use the pram a lot in Malaysia, although not every destination is stroller friendly. It was more useful at attractions aimed at families, like if you go to a theme park, aquarium, shopping centre, those types of places. But on the side of the road, there's often, more often than not, for sure, there isn't a proper footpath, so a pram can be a bit trickier. Ideally, a baby carrier is just so much easier and means you can go anywhere. High chairs are available more often than you might think. It's rare in hawker centres, but other restaurants often have them. Your baby or toddler may get a fair bit of positive attention, especially if they are redheads or blonde like two of ours are. This can help a lot, especially if they're a bit sooky or they need some attention and you want to eat. It can be great. You can go out for dinner and they get this attention and it can feel a bit like a break while you eat your dinner instead of dealing with them. So that can really be great. And honestly, I really loved traveling with our babies and toddlers here. If anything, I have found tweens to be harder, or at least girl tweens that think that they're too cool for everything. But even that child loved the beach, the resort vibe in Malaysia, and gets into the food. Traveling with older kids can be really great, although I can't quite comment on teenagers yet. Although since I last went in April, I do have a teenager now, so I'm going to know about that very soon. There is plenty of interesting things to do, and it makes it easier to enjoy the great outdoors and do things like hiking, water sports like parasailing, or if they have the patience for wildlife spotting. My kids have all loved doing some parasailing in Penang. As they get older, definitely try to include your kids in the planning. My kids can think it's somewhat boring to plan, but I find putting YouTube videos on different destinations can be helpful. They can get sucked into that. They'll watch it. I get them to tell me what attractions in there they'd like to visit, and I try to incorporate them. Because I find if they had any say in places we go, when we get there, they're much more keen to go and say what they think and all of that. So it just makes it smoother once we're there. Of course, there aren't great videos on every destination, but there usually is something on the majority of places you're likely to go in Malaysia. We have quite a few on our YouTube channel, so you can always check that out as well. You can look for Dive Into Malaysia in YouTube or find the link in the show notes. Like I said, if they've chosen a place, then usually they'll have a better time and they put more effort into enjoy it. I try to sandwich things that my husband and I want to do with things that the kids are particularly interested in. They're usually less bothered by them then. I also factor in chill time. We often stay somewhere with a pool, which is easy to do in Malaysia, and some pool time really helps, especially when it's hot in the afternoon. So ideally, you can plan an action-packed morning, have some lunch, maybe do something else. But then if you've got kids, I would really consider that it's hotel time at that point, ideally with a pool or go to the beach or this ain't really chill. But kids are kids and I have three of them. So usually someone isn't happy. I just try to remember that's also the case at home and not to take it personally. But it does really help when they've chosen activities or I've told them stories beforehand about how fun it will be and why. Planning really is everything for a successful family trip in my experience. Now, treats like ice cream are very affordable and can be a good bribe. You can find stalls at time too with cut up fruit, which can really be delicious. My kids really love the mango or some watermelon, or good behaviour earns them a fresh juice at dinner. Even better, go Malaysian and have an ice kacang for good behaviour. It's a local dessert made out of shaved ice and other random things, and it goes down so well in the heat. It also looks really cool, so kids can find that extra fun. My kids can get into hawker centres as well for mealtimes. There are usually tons of stalls at these with photos, so it's easy for them to imagine what the food is, and it means we can order different things. My older kids that were 11 and 12 at the time of our last visit loved going around and ordering for themselves too, which helped them get into it. I hope all of this helped you feel at ease about traveling with kids in Malaysia. It really is a great destination for families. Now it's time to bring my kids into the discussion. Please welcome Soraya, who just turned 13, Isaac, who is 11, and Jeremy, who just turned 7. So they were 12, 11, and 6 when we were last in Malaysia 2 months ago. What is a little tricky at the moment is that because of the pandemic, although they've been to Malaysia lots of times, they were obviously a fair chunk younger the time they went before this recent visit. So it can be hard to remember everything. So Jeremy, what do you think about traveling in Malaysia?
Well, I like it because there's lots of fun experience stuff that you can do for kids. And there's like lots of theme parks and fun stuff to do. And there's lots of stuff that you can rate. And there's like people are really kind there, and yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy seemed to get lollies from aunties, as they would call them in Malaysia. Older ladies would just see his little blue eyes and want to give him lollies, so I'm sure he quite enjoyed that. How about you, Isaac, Mr. 11? What do you think about traveling in Malaysia?
I think traveling in Malaysia was really fun, and when you were driving by, you could see all these little things that just were kind of cool, and it was really enjoyable when the time I have spent in Malaysia, and I am excited to go back again.
How about you, Soraya? What do you think about travelling in Malaysia?
I thought it was really nice, and I really enjoyed all the things there to do there, and it's just a really nice community, and there's lots of nice people. I felt like I had a really good time.
Why is that?
Because of just the amount of things there are to do there and just what it's like.
So, Isaac, what were your favourite places and top experiences in Malaysia?
Well, I really liked Legoland and Escape Penang, which is sort of those theme parky things, but I also really liked more the nature experiences like the East Coast Islands and Taman Negara.
So why were all those places your favourites?
First of all, for the theme parks, for Legoland, I loved Lego personally, and I thought it was really cool going there. It had all these cool things relating to Lego. And Escape Penang, it has the world's longest tube water slide and the world's longest zip coaster. And with Taman Negara and the East Coast Islands, they were just like a bit serene and surrounded by nature. You felt like, or in nature, I guess.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun island hopping in the East Coast Islands. Me and Isaac, just the two of us a few years ago, right before the pandemic. What about Escape Penang? Do you want to just tell people what that is for people who don't know what it is?
Escape is a theme park located in Penang, and they have all these cool rides and attractions. The two main attractions are the world's longest tube water slide and the world's longest...
Yeah, so it's like a half water park, half adventure theme park where you go on lots of obstacle courses and things like that, isn't it, Isaac?
Yes, like as I was saying, it also has the world's longest zip coaster. And they have a bunch of treetop courses. They also have a bunch of water slides and water playgrounds. It was really cool.
So you recommend that one for kids?
Yes.
And how about Legoland? What did you find there?
I found it was basically just like another theme park, except it included elements of Lego. And the best thing, like the main attraction in Legoland Malaysia, was the VR roller coaster. which was my favourite ride, and I really recommend going on it if you can go.
Yeah, so it's an actual roller coaster. So your body is on a roller coaster where you have the VR mask telling you a whole story as well. So it's not like ones where people just sit in a room with VR one. But just a little bit more about Legoland, because I know, like, living here in Melbourne, some people get confused and think that the Legoland Discovery Centre we have here in Melbourne is a Legoland theme park, but they're very different, aren't they, Isaac?
Yeah. The actual Legoland is a huge theme park, and some of them have water parks.
Yeah, so the one in Malaysia has a water park as well, but it's heaps of rides, like roller coasters, splash rides, which are great in the heat, the Miniland, so Lego constructions of sites in Asia. There's lots of Lego experiences. What else is that?
And they're also, usually for most Legolands, there is a Legoland hotel, which when we stayed there, it was really cool, especially they had like this safe for kids that you had to go around your room finding clues to unlock the padlock.
And what was inside?
Lego poly bags.
Yeah, so there was like a little Lego thing you could make. How about you, Saraya? What do you think are some of the top places or things you can do in Malaysia for you?
I really like the Berjaya Hotel because I like that it was connected to a shopping centre.
Yeah, just to clarify, because they're actually a chain of hotels. You mean the Berjaya Times Square Hotel in Kuala Lumpur?
Yeah. And I also really like Lexus Hibiscus in Port Dickson because we stayed in like a pool villa above the water and there were some really great views and beaches around there as well. And the restaurants there always have really good food.
So the Lexus Hibiscus, we actually got to stay in an overwater villa that had our own private pool. So you get to swim in your little pool over the top of the water and there's like some glass floor inside the room so you can see underneath it. It is quite unique, don't you think, Saraya?
Yes.
So where else have you liked in Malaysia?
I also really liked the food tour that we did in Kuala Lumpur. And we basically did a food tour places near and around like the China play,
yeah, Chinatown.
And like inside it too. And it was like really good markets. There's lots of different variations in stores. Definitely there's lots of fake things that you need to be careful of, but other than that, they've got really great food and it's really fun. I really like Penang because we used to live there a while ago and I used to really like eating out a lot. And there's lots of different kinds of food and we ate out nearly every day for dinner and it's really good price. So if you are to stay there, like, you can probably eat out nearly every day.
How about you, Jeremy? What did you think was really good in Malaysia?
I think the theme parks are really, really fun because they have lots of stuff like roller coasters. You can really enjoy them if you like them.
Yeah, which ones in particular, Jeremy?
I really, really liked Legoland because there's lots of stuff that you can use at the theme park, but it has Lego stuff, so then you can enjoy the same things that it's two same things at the same time. And then it feels really fun and joyful.
Yeah, and you really liked the water park there, didn't you? I think Jeremy might have gone on every water slide and every ride at the theme park, and he was only six a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and I really like Kidzania because there was lots of stuff that you could do and you would get fake money, and then you can also spend your fake money, and then you can also spend it on some of the shops that in the thing. I really like Tea Life. It was really fun because you only had to pay 12 of the fake money and then you would make a drink, and it was really, really good of a drink, and I really, really, really liked it.
Yeah, so Kidzania is in Kuala Lumpur. They're a worldwide chain and our kids have always loved them the most. All three of our kids loved it then, so it's good for a diverse range of ages as well. It's like a whole world and you get to do little jobs so they can try out being a pilot. And I don't know, what job did you like doing the best other than making your iced tea?
I also really like doing the hospital.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Got to work at the hospital. It is really cool. It's one of those things where I'm really jealous that I can't do it as well, but they don't let the parents join in. You can only watch. What about saying other than a theme park, Jeremy? Is there something other than a theme park that you liked visiting? Or
I really liked Lexus Hibiscus because, like,
the hotel with the pool villas and the pool
and like
over the water.
The Lexus Hibiscus, you got like treated well, and they had like these mini buggies, so then you didn't have to walk to your thing, because the hotel is really big. So then if you got a buggy, then it wouldn't be as long as walking. And there was like yummy drinks. And they also had this breakfast and it had really yummy stuff. And I wanted to try the Belgian waffles. They were really good.
Not very Malaysian though, Jeremy. So what else have you enjoyed in Malaysia?
I like building in Legoland. I like building with the Lego they had. I also like those streets in different places where there's art and there's like some bits that extend to the art, like something proper, like the thing that is painted.
Yeah, so there'll be the street art and there'll be somewhere you can pose, isn't there, Jeremy, like on a bike.
Yeah, and it was really fun. You should really go there.
Yeah, and street art's in lots of places. It can be really famous in Penang in Georgetown, but like Mua, we found some amazing street art that's just south of Malacca, Ipoh. I started feeling like every city in Malaysia has some street art you can find. We've always found that fun, especially because the cities have a lot of it. You can just wander and then it's a bit of a competition who can find it. Some I would add to that the kids wouldn't remember so well because of thanks to the pandemic and not getting there for a few years. Cameron Highlands is really kid-friendly, I think, with the strawberry picking, the teas. I know Soraya really liked the tea stuff when we went a few years ago. There's bees, lavender, roses, outdoor hiking. It's quite kid-friendly in that way. Do you remember that, Soraya?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was quite enjoyable and it was a really good site to go and visit.
Yeah, and I would say in Borneo, Kuching was lots of fun, but we went there, like Soraya was 5 and Isaac was 3, so their memories, although Soraya remembers a little bit, I think, about the silly cat stuff, because Kuching means cat in Malay. That is a cool city too. There's cat statues around to look out for. There's the silliest cat museum you could ever go to. It's the most tackiest place. It's hilarious. From there, you can do a lot of cool natural attractions too, like to see orangutans. There's national parks you can visit on day trips easily with shorter hikes you could do with kids. There's a beach area nearby. There's a lot of stuff really close to Kuching, which makes it a good base when you're with the kids and you don't want to travel around too much in Borneo. And similar to that would be Sandakan in Sabah in Borneo. I was just there recently, but not with the kids. That also has a lot of stuff you can do really easily that I really want to return with the kids, like the very famous Sepalok orangutans are there and lots of other cool animal attractions. So what do you think about the food in Malaysia, Soraya?
I thought there were some really good food options and there's lots of different sorts of foods from all different countries and I thought there was some really, really good food.
Yeah, Soraya was saying before, you know, what she loved about living in Penang was how we ate out all the time and got lots of good food. Soraya, if you had to pick 3 dishes you should try when you go to Malaysia, what would your pick be?
So a couple things that we did on the food tour was coconut pancakes were my favourite thing, one of my favourite foods ever now, and I really wish I could go back and taste them. And then also in that same market, there was a fruit juice stand with so many different fruit juices. It tasted so good, so I definitely recommend trying to get some fresh fruit juice from one of those markets.
Which you can find all over Malaysia. It's not hard to get fresh juice, is it?
No.
And what's your third one?
I also really like ice kacang because there's so many different flavours and you can get it nearly anywhere and it's definitely something good to try if you're staying in Malaysia.
Can you just say what ice kacang is?
It's basically shaved ice with different flavourings and foods in there.
It can sound a bit disgusting, don't you think? Because it's like got beans, it can have corn. I mean, every ice kacang is a bit different, but it can have this strange allotment, like it can have some jelly in it. You know, corn, beans, shaved ice. It might have ice cream on top, weird toppings, condensed milk, maple syrup. And it can sound disgusting, but somehow it just works.
Yeah, it tastes really good.
Okay, how about you, Jeremy? What do you think about the food in Malaysia?
I think the food was great because there was so much yummy juices. There was lots of places that have juices and they were also very cheap. And they all had different fruits that you could try out. I really like the mango one because I love mangoes.
Yeah, the mangoes are extra juicy in Malaysia. They're really delicious. What about other types of food?
I really like the ice kacang. It's just because, like, lots of toppings might sound a bit disgusting, but then when you all go put your toppings together, it might taste really, really yum.
Yeah, it's also great for Instagram. They look quite spectacular. Jeremy is a bit of an ice kacang addict. I must say we were a little disappointed on our most recent trip to Malaysia because it felt like it used to be everywhere and it was easy to find. And this time it was a little bit tougher to find, wasn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah.
But we got it whenever we could.
Yeah, we did. And I was a bit disappointed that they didn't have as much places. But I also really liked the rice was really yum.
Yeah, so we'd have a lot of like nasi goreng, which is fried rice.
And I really liked the roti canai. That was really, really yum too.
Can you tell us what roti canai is, Jeremy?
It's basically like bread, like dough.
Yeah, it's bread. It's like Indian bread, the roti. Yeah. And then what do you get it with roti canai?
It's like really yum sauce that makes it taste really good. It tastes like peanut butter.
It can be a satay one if you're lucky. But, yeah, it really just depends. It can all be different. And the good part is if you don't like the sauce, you can just eat the roti because sometimes it can be quite spicy too. Yeah. How about you, Isaac? What did you think of the food?
One of my favourite foods of all time is satay sticks, which is just beef, chicken, or sometimes there's others. It's basically meat on a stick.
Yeah, with satay sauce.
You have a stick and you can dip it in the satay sauce, but sometimes they sprinkle it on. And I also really liked mee goreng, which is a bunch of noodles and you can pick the toppings.
Yeah, so some toppings might be in there, but you'll pick what meat you want. Or you can have it vegetarian, which is how I used to have it when I was vegetarian. Any other food you'd recommend?
I forgot what it was called, but it was these sweet potato balls that we got on the food tour.
Yeah, I've forgotten what they're called too on the food tour. Definitely do a food tour if you can. It's a great way to be introduced to lots of food. And it actually works really well with kids because you'll get so many different foods to eat that if they don't like something, it doesn't matter. There'll be something else. And then you know the rest of your time in Malaysia what you like and what you can look to eat, hey?
Yeah.
So Isaac is a good one to listen to for his food choices if you're not a fan of spice because he hates any spice. Soraya and Jeremy, they don't mind some spice, but Isaac, he can taste even a minuscule of spice and won't eat it. So those options can be good for that. Jeremy, what do you think is most challenging about travelling in Malaysia?
Well, if you're not really a hiking person and you do hiking, that's challenging. Sometimes it takes a long time to get food and then you might be starving. That's also challenging. It feels like all the theme parks are like a long way from each other, so then it takes a long time. That's challenging.
So you'd just rather everything was just instant and you never had to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't we all? How about the weather? Did you like the weather?
It was hot. Really hot sometimes.
Yeah, we were just there when they had a heat wave, so we had it extra bad on that trip. Especially when we were in Taman Negara, it was definitely so, so hot and sweaty. I don't think I've ever felt so sweaty in my life. Mm-hmm. But generally, I mean, personally, I like the weather.
I think it was good weather.
Yeah. So what do you find challenging, Isaac?
I felt staying on the right path was challenging. So if you go hiking, you don't necessarily know where the right path is. When we went to Taman Negara, some of the path was blocked off, saying we couldn't go there. And then we were a bit confused until somebody else came and helped us out.
Yeah, that was a little bit challenging in Taman Negara because we did some hiking by ourselves. And while in hindsight it was really obvious, it wasn't at the time. So definitely if you're going there, read my guide because I explain what we did wrong and which way to go so you don't make the same mistake. Isaac, anything else you found challenging?
I found getting there challenging.
Yeah, like the long flight?
It was pretty boring.
Yeah, long flights are pretty boring. That's one way to put it.
But when we got there, it was all worth it.
That's good. How about you, Soraya? What do you find challenging in Malaysia?
I found the flight as well for me was also really long. And I like some heat, but sometimes it was just really hot and it just gets everyone a bit irritable and annoyed.
So final question. Isaac, what would you recommend to other kids going to Malaysia?
I recommend a few things. First of all, saving up your money. In Malaysia, lots of things are cheap. Not necessarily the big brands, but like snacks and juices, they're pretty cheap. And I also recommend persuading your parents that you go to the theme park, such as Legoland and Escape. I also would recommend trying to make the most of going and trying to have a good time.
Yeah, and do as much as possible.
Yes.
Give it a chance because you're going to do things that are different than what you normally do, right? And often my kids will be like, oh, I don't want to do that or whatever. And then they do it and it's okay, isn't it? In fact, usually you go, oh, yeah, actually, mum was right. That was cool. But they won't want to admit that. Soraya, what about you? What would you recommend to other kids or teenagers?
I recommend saving up your money as well, because there's a lot to buy, and if you save up $50 and you went to like Bechaya Times Square like we did, you can probably end up getting a bunch of stuff for just $50, like food, clothes and like toys or makeup or anything. And then also I recommend trying to get some knowledge if you're like me and like going shopping a lot. In Malaysia, there's a lot of fake things, so fake shoes and even the clothes. Like I got some jeans in this shop, pretended it was from Zara. So if you really are worried about being on brand and want everything to be where it came from, then maybe going somewhere like that isn't the best to go. But yeah, definitely doing some research on shopping so you know and can differ what's fake and what's real.
Jeremy, what would you recommend to other children going to Malaysia, especially if they're around your age?
They would definitely love going to theme parks.
Yeah, and what else?
They would also like the food, and there's lots of fun rides that you could do in the theme park that you'd probably enjoy. Ice Kacang is also really, really good because the toppings are good. Street art, it's really fun too. I think you should really go there.
Okay, well, thank you guys. Big thank you to Soraya, Isaac and Jeremy for giving us their perspective, and I hope this helps you plan your trip.
Bye.
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 So that's it. That's everything family travel in Malaysia. Remember, if you have any questions, join us in the Facebook group that you can find at malaysiaplanning.com and ask away. I'll do my best to answer. To recap, today I talked all about traveling with kids in Malaysia, from babies to teenagers, from what baby supplies you should bring from home, to my top tips to stop complaining kids. I also was joined by my kids who discussed how they find traveling in Malaysia, what's great, what's a little more challenging, and what they recommend. Remember, you can find today's show notes at this episode at diveintomalaysia.com/episode16. Make sure you subscribe to this channel, because next episode I'm talking all about Taman Negara, the jungle heart of Peninsula Malaysia. So if you want an amazing jungle experience in Malaysia, not far from Kuala Lumpur, make sure you listen. I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Dive Into Malaysia Travel. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more travel inspiration, planning advice, and fun about traveling in Malaysia. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.